Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and welcome to the Care to Read Show. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I'd like to welcome everyone to the special show, to our Kwanzaa series for children. Yes, and our chat rooms are now open, ladies and gentlemen. If you care to come in and chat, our children's special Kwanzaa celebration number 3. We will be talking about the principles of Kwanzaa. And we will also be talking about, are boys different from girls? And we're going to get into our topic tonight. We won't be doing a story because we need to get right into our topic. Last night we ran a little over. And we are celebrating the artists Kwame, Steve Cobbs, and Chewbacca. We're celebrating their music because we've been playing their music for the last 3 years. We love their music. And they have written Kwanzaa songs and the principles of Kwanzaa. And the songs that you'll be hearing in this room will be celebrated through the Cobb family. And ladies and gentlemen, just as I said, the topic for discussion that we'll be discussing, and we're going to be talking about, why isn't conscious-based education and mindfulness being discussed in the urban schools? Let's talk about it. And also, are third world countries preventing their girls from going to school? And how can they benefit by letting girls go to school? We're going to be talking about all those subjects, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to also solicit for you to come into our chat room. Our chat rooms will now be open officially. So for those of you out there on Facebook, you're welcome to come into our chat room and chat. And for those of you who are on Twitter, we've already tweeted you to let you know our chat rooms are officially open. So you're welcome into the room. Please come in. And we'd like to welcome each and every one of you. We will not be doing our traditional ritual and dedication with our libation because of the time is so short. Now let's get right into our topic. Last night we talked about conscious-based education. And it's also called baccalaureate education. Now these are some new methodologies that are being seen in other school districts. And a large number of schools are now implementing these curriculum. Mindfulness. What is mindfulness? And how is it being used in the school system? Mindfulness is a way of talking about having better character, being able to be sensitized to other cultures, also being aware of consciousness, mindfulness to do the right thing, to treat people fairly, to accept all denominations of people. And this is what our children are lacking. When you see the children having a character problem in the classroom and you know that the parents are not raising their children right at home, you can't just step right in and begin to start disciplining that child in any manner that you want in the classroom. You need to have a plan. You need to have programs implemented like mindfulness to remind that child that these are the set of principles that we are functioning by. In the classroom, the teacher is devastated. She's lost. She doesn't have a plan. How will I build character structure in this child? How will I even build morals in this child? You cannot even legislate morals in the classroom. So therein lies the problem. If you show me a child that has no morals, I will show you a child that is disrespectful and that is acting out on every hand. Because you cannot appeal to his morals or his better judgment when you have not placed a foundation within that child. So mindfulness is all of that. Being mindful to be courteous to others, being mindful to consider the other person, being mindful of the fact that someone may be different from you, but they must be given respect. Mindfulness is the newest methodology that you are hearing throughout suburban schools. Now they actually open up academies and universities where they're mindfully implementing these programs in school districts that are very, very rich, of course. However, it doesn't take money just to implement mindfulness. Now, along with mindfulness, they're also using conscious-based education, meaning that they are also using a form of meditation, whether it be transcendental meditation or the Tree of Life. They are implementing a spiritual behavior in the classroom, and this is like mixing state with education, in my opinion. But nevertheless, it's been needed for centuries and eons. And if you don't put some type of morals and character building within the classroom, you're going to have pure chaos. And that's what we've been getting, is chaos in the classroom. And most of you know that I have left the classroom over 4 years of being retired. However, during the time I was in a class, I vividly can remember being really, really put out by not having a behavior modification to use in a classroom that was workable for all children. Not knowing if the security guard would get in my class, would come to the classroom in time to stop a fight. Not really knowing what powers I had and which strings I could pull to prevent a child from running game on me in class. Now, here's what I say. No child should have the right to manipulate a classroom or a teacher. If a teacher is letting that child manipulate them and call all the shots, then the teacher has no business teaching. We first must have control of our classroom. Our managerial skills must be intact before you can teach any academic. We must realize that children must stay in their proper place. And that's not just to be seen and not heard. Children have no business telling a teacher off or cleaning a teacher's clock, so to speak. But some of you teachers are tolerating it. Some of you are putting up with it for the benefit of keeping a job. But it's very important that you should hear me now, teachers. And if you're not in this room, you need to come on in and take a seat. Because truly, the reason why our schools are failing is because of the chaos and the tyranny that's being allowed to be carried on throughout these schools. Most of our European schools have decided to have behavior modification centers where they send the child to rework his behavior and come up with a plan where he can deviate from unstructured and bad, poor behavior before he can enter into the classroom with a management curriculum that will describe and outline what it is he would do to change his behavior. We have not gotten that far in our urban settings. Our children keep getting suspended after suspension to the point of being expelled for bad behavior. We don't have these detention centers where we send them to correct their behavior. Sometimes they're sent into hideous places which only deviates and enhances bad behavior rather than rehabilitating it. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the New Age schools are dealing with baccalaureate-based programs and they're dealing with conscious-based education. Now, what does meditation have to do with anything in a classroom, and how does it help a child? In most school districts where they're using the transcendental meditation, every person in the school is orientated to the transcendental meditation, even the teacher. So that everyone is on one accord, that they go into meditation, and the form of meditation will allow the brain to operate better, to function better, and for them to be on one accord, so to speak. Now, conscious-based education in Iowa is being seen throughout the school districts there. Now, this new baccalaureate education, I'm looking into it more, getting more and more understanding of how it works in the classroom. But however, we're going to deviate a little bit and talk about the girl gender versus the boy gender. I asked the question yesterday, are boys and girls the same? And no one answered me. I'm going to ask that question again. Do you believe that boys and girls are the same? Our phone lines are open now at 646-478-0270, and I invite you to call in and give us your opinion while we go for a drum roll. Take care. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Are boys and girls the same? I'd like to know. Inquiring minds want to know. back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to see those phone lines light up at 646-478-0270. Girls and boys are not the same, and they should not be mistaken for being the same gender. And what one gender requires, the other may require something different. So, in reality, by the time a boy reaches fourth grade, he should have seen a male teacher in his life. He should not continue to go on throughout school without having a male teacher all the way till he is at puberty age and graduating. That is really the inappropriate way to go. A boy needs to see a male in action teaching and role modeling. It's very important to understand that. Now, Dr. Jawanza Kunju's hypothesis is that we are raising our daughters and loving our sons. Now, I want to piggyback on that concept because over in Europe, what I see mostly happening is that they are educating their sons and miseducating their daughters because they are not allowed to go and attend school. In essence, they are forced to accept a planned marriage, an arranged marriage. They go right into marriage at the age of 12 years old, if not sooner, but at least by 15. Those girls in those other nations, they are not being allowed to go to school, and their economic situation is really being damaged because of it. If those women were allowed to bring in an income and bring in economic self-worth, they could recirculate that money throughout their communities and keep the dollar moving, causing the economy to be just started. And therein lies prevent some of the economic problems that we're currently going through in third world countries. So there's a big push all over the nation for advocacy for third world countries to allow women to go to school or young girls. So I'm advocating for it. I'm certainly advocating for it because I advocate for the STEMS program for females to be a part of the science, technology, engineering, and math program, which they have been denied entrance into for so long. Now, is there a tendency to discriminate against girls? If so, why? And does the girl have a cutting edge, or is the girl a step ahead of the male in the academic arena? If so, let's equal the playing grounds. Over in third world countries, let's equal the playing grounds. Give the women a chance to go to school. And if they can go to school and work at home, then they must be twice as bad. But certainly, we've got to advocate for some of these third world countries to allow their women to enter into school. There needs to be symposiums, workshops, and seminars to talk about it because those girls are hurting because they're uneducated, and most of them will become imbeciles if they don't learn to read and to calculate and to compute. They will not be able to run the country. And as you know, we've talked about this female energy that's rushing in now. That this is more of a reason why we should educate our females because they will be heading up heads of officials and they will be managing and showing leadership potential. So therefore, they must have not only knowledge but be educated with wisdom. When you couple that knowledge with some wisdom, then they can deliver and then they can act as leaders in our community. Let's get back to America, however. However, we're running into a situation where our girls are being heavily enrolled in college, and they're given every opportunity to go to school, which is a great thing. However, our boys are coming up short. They are not being raised or they are not being implemented into these programs to help structure them. They're being loved to death. Yes, mother, we are loving our boys to death instead of educating them and training them to have skills and to be able to function in leadership roles. So it's very important that we understand during this Kwanzaa season that as you begin to do your Kwanzaa celebration, give the boys some leadership role. Let them lead the Kwanzaa celebration. Let them take the baton and direct and lead and guide the household. Let them have chores and responsibilities and hold them accountable for everything that you have trusted them with. Now, mothers, I think that we should know more so than any time, kujichagulia is self-determination. And it's the ability to define and name for ourselves. Allow your children to have some choices. When a child doesn't feel that he has choices, then that's when you see them coming out like a badger with their backs against the wall. We must give choices to young people. And it's very important to understand that our young, gifted, and black young men and women must have responsibility. Responsibility and collective work. Kuumba, Ujima, Ujima, all of these principles are necessary to implement throughout the year. Not just waiting to the day after Christmas, like tomorrow, when everyone will try to go and celebrate unity, and they will break the table trying to put all the candles there to usher in unity. We can do unity throughout the year. We can do kujichagulia on a daily, weekly basis. Last night we did creativity. Kaumba. We talked about what is creativity. And it's very important that we should understand every child has self-worth, and there's something in every child that you can adduce and pull out. Let's find those gifts within our children, and let's make sure we pull the gifts out of them and adduce the knowledge in them. Through Kuumba, you can find what your child is best gifted in. You can allow them to show their full potential in giving them projects and opportunities. But we must realize that there is an effort through gender biases to discriminate against girls, primarily in high-tech areas. Those are the fields that you don't see a large percentage of girls in, such as engineering and in the computer areas. So we must make things equal. They will never truly be equal, but we must open up every door for those young girls to be a part of those traditional areas that are normally reared up by males. Now, in these science classes, teachers, you ought to be pushing for science, for girls to be a part of science and technology. You mustn't tell them that this is a area for only boys. You must encourage them in those areas of science and technology. But we are going to have to do a better job of utilizing Kwanzaa throughout our school year and implementing all of the principles, not just one or two, but all of them. And as we look at the first unity, the unity will be within the teachers coming together to define African curriculum and to come together on one accord to make sure that they implement African-centered faith education in the classroom. It is certainly needed. We've tried everything else. We have tried so many methodologies and failed at everything for our black children. We refuse to look at anything native and anything that might be from a Bush people. But it's okay to take from the best that Africa has to give and to utilize it in the classroom. It's high time that we should look at an African-centered curriculum for African children by African teachers. Now, teachers, you can create, you can write curriculum, you can manufacture all types of materials for African children. We are now going to have to look at separating our boys at the age of fourth grade and having their own academic curriculums and having their own academies. You can no longer raise the girls with the boys at the age of puberty when he goes into manhood. There must be a rites of passage to allow him to transition into manhood. And as we begin to look at how do we make these boys into men, you can only do that with iron. Only iron sharpens iron. You must bring other male teachers in to help implement these curriculums because they're no good without a male to deliver them. And you must understand that there are 80% female teachers that are teaching all boys. And that can't continue to happen. Teachers, if you are going to have females in the class, then you must teach in duality with the male as well. They must see male and female in action because some of these homes do not have male and females there, and they need to see them somewhere in action. But it's very important for us to understand that Kwanzaa plays a definite role in our first fruit, explaining to them that rituals and traditions are very important to incorporate not only at home, but in the classroom as well. Most of our plays and most of our celebrations should be done right there in the school, and they should be introduced to the child right there in the school. Half of you administrators and teachers are refusing to make Kwanzaa a part of the curriculum. Why must we wait to January to have Dr. Martin Luther King's Day and wait to February to have that 1 month of black heroes and sheroes when we can teach them throughout the year of their heroes and sheroes? It would make them better students. It really would. It would hold their attention. And most of the children that you're losing through the cracks who are swiftly falling through as we speak, most of those children are right now refusing to go to school. Some of them have already dropped out at the age of third grade. Statistics now show that the fourth grade failure has now switched down to the third grade, where children are dropping out of school mentally, morally, and educationally. They've dropped out. They no longer want to be there. So what is it about the curriculum that they don't want or don't like or refuse to learn from us? Maybe if you gave them what it is that they were desiring, you wouldn't have to force them to learn. They would come to school willingly, wanting to be there. So we've got to do a better job of these curriculum plans and come up with things that are conducive for the urban setting. If a child lives in the urban setting and has to go back there on a daily basis to live, you've got to give him ammunition to work with in the urban setting. You cannot continue to give him a Eurocentric curriculum and expect him to go back and use it in the urban setting and to function with it. They call that acting white. So if they come back to the hood and implement something called Shakespeare and utilize something from Eurocentric, the children will rank on each other and call that acting white. And guess what? Nobody wants to buy into education at that point because you're acting white. And they know you cannot make it with a Eurocentric concept in an urban setting. So they don't buy into education. They don't want anything to do with it. They'll drop out if they have to because they want to be anything but acting white, because they know their brothers and sisters will rank on them and they will feel inadequate no matter how smart they get. So some children choose to be ignorant rather than to be smart because they want to be accepted. Now, then what must we do if we know all these statistics, we have all this information? How can we implement it to change what is going on in the curriculum setting? How can we come to the boardroom now and invite African Americans there to get their input? So many African Americans sit down at the table to integrate curriculum, to cut out the biases, but are they accepted? Most of their suggestions are going along the wayside because they are not up and coming and innovative. But we must look at designing our own curriculums for our own community and finding out what best works for us so that we can get the ball rolling and get things turned around, because our schools have failed miserably and our children no longer want to be there. Our African-American children no longer want to be there. Do you hear me, teachers? Do you hear me, parents? We must understand that this is an urgent situation that is calling for all red lights to come on, because this particular time we must even start from preschool. Early intervention is what is going to be needed. And when you start from preschool to look at teaching every child to read by the age of 5, they go into the system armed and ready. When Europe's children are going to school at 3 and learning to read no later than 4, they have a jump start on our children. Our children are waiting to read way too late. You can't send a child out of kindergarten not knowing how to read. You do them a disservice. So I'm pushing for reading for those preschoolers. I'm pushing for it. And you know why? Because for 3 years, I taught preschoolers to read. That's right. And they were not only just verbally mimicking, they were phonetically blending and decoding and reading and encoding. Now, phonemic awareness is not something new to African children. This is what they do best. It's their speciality. They rap. They talk. They use their communication skills. And mothers, if we have to look at doing homeschool to develop the language skills of your child, every child needs to learn a second language. to make them more well-versed in the area of academic grammar, and mechanical English. It will give them a better start. We've got to look at doing something different in our classroom because what we've used in the past is no longer working. Now, I'm not going to preach you to death or under the table about the situation, and you all know that it's been a problem. You all know that those of us who can teach and who can lead ought to step up to the plate and make a difference. There are programs online now where we're coming together to try to put and match our wits with educational systems to talk about what curriculums can we use for African-American children. What curriculums? And I'll tell you what, we need to look at something that is indicative to our customs and traditions. So why are we bypassing that? Why do we keep looking over that, looking around the bushes and through the bushes and under the table and through the lakes and under the stream, but we won't look at the real cause? Our children are dialectically dying from a depreciation of culturally degenerative disease of lacking culture in their diet. I know this because I saw many children suffering from this very thing, not knowing who they are is the number one thing. Once a child defines who he is, and to know thyself is the number one question. We help that child to know himself so when he gets in touch with his spirit, you develop that spirit and cause that spirit to rise. No one's teaching on developing a child's spirit. That is the most precious thing that we can give a child, is to put him in touch with his spirit so he becomes wise enough and he's led by his intellect and not just by what he thinks, but he's meditated on what he thinks from his higher self or her higher self. Now, we've got to get on top of these things, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to come up with some concept of our own. We've got to come up with websites, and we've got to come up with institutions. We are institution builders, and we've got to develop our own institution for our children. If need be, develop plans where you can do homeschool and develop programs that will be conducive for those children who are not ready to go back into schools, who have been damaged so terribly from our school system that they need to be in a homeschool setting. And parents, you know who you are, and I'm going to ask you,